We'll call to order the Communications and Legislative Liaison Committee meeting for Thursday, August 7th, 12 p.m. here in Conference Room C2. May I have a roll call, please?
Roll call, Director Tran, Director Yeo, Director Sheldon.
Here.
Director Mezquit.
Here.
Director Wygant.
Here.
Director Green.
Here.
Director Jung.
Present.
Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Meeks.
Here.
Director Bilodeau. You do have a quorum of your committee with seven directors present.
All right, great. Are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are none.
Okay. All right, visitor participation. This is the time for those who wish to address the board. Is there anyone in person or online? Seeing none, I will move to the consent calendar, items number one and two. One is the minutes from our last meeting, and number two is CARES Professional Service Agreement. Is there anyone with any questions? Or I have a motion from Director Green. Is there a second? I will second. I'll call for the vote.
We'll call Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Mezquit.
Yes.
Director Wygant.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Jung.
Aye.
Motion carries with five yes votes.
All right, great. Now it's time for matters of consideration. Item number three is our state legislative update. And Jason, you're on.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity, Jason Gonsalves. I'll be brief and start with the good news. The good news is the legislature is on summer recess. They will, I guess the bad news is they will return on August 18th. there has been some movement in Sacramento. A lot of it's political movement, but just very briefly, we do have a new president pro tem elect, Senator Monique Lamone out of the Santa Barbara area. She will transition as the president pro tem around January. Likewise, there will be a new assembly Republican leader, Assemblymember Heath Flora out of the Manteca area, Lodi, and he too will transition later this year or January of next year. You've obviously read that and heard the news. Kamala Harris has decided she is not running for governor. She may be the only one in California that's made that decision because there's 15 other candidates, seven Dems, six Republicans. There's even a no party preference and a peace and freedom candidate at this point. And the 15 candidates doesn't count Rick Caruso, who many anticipate will join the race. So there's no shortage of politics. And just in case, more excitement. The legislature, as I mentioned, will be back on August 18th. They will have 5 days to consider and adopt legislation for midterm reapportionment maps. This is the whole congressional battle, Texas versus California. The governor said if Texas redraws their maps, we're going to redraw ours. The point being is August 22nd is the date the Secretary of State's office has indicated is the deadline to take that action in anticipation of a possible November 4th election. There's 52 congressional seats. We all know the math. 43 are currently held by Democrats, 9 by Republicans. Some could argue those seats have already been cut up, but who knows? We'll see how that progresses. On the legislative side, there's 700 bills roughly pending before the appropriations committees. All of those bills have to move out by August 29th. And then between September 2nd and September 12th, it'll be floor session only before they adjourn this legislative session. So they're on recess. They're coming back August 18th. They will have until September 12th to do anything and everything they want, with all of 3 or almost 4 weeks of vetting. So with that, happy to answer any questions other than who's the leading candidate for governor.
So that special election will be in November, and they just have to vote on it as a body both in the Assembly and the Senate, and then the governor signs it? Or how, what's the process for that?
Process will be in August. They will have to take action to adopt maps and declare a special session for November 4th. And then the voters of California will have to say yes or no on those new maps this year, this November. I would note politically, just the never dull moment. Former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has come out. You know, he did the independent reapportionment. He's come out and indicated he will campaign actively against this effort. So, and then the checkbook of Charles Munger, which helped on the independent reapportionment, will probably help Governor Schwarzenegger, former Governor Schwarzenegger. So there's it'll be a November 4th ballot before the voters.
What day do they have to sign off on that in the legislature to make
August
it?
22nd is the date that the Secretary of State's office has currently indicated the maps and the action will have to be taken.
And those maps are already pretty much drawn, right? Somebody crafted those up and they're voting on them.
They're part of a red and blue coloring contest taking place as we speak, but they have not been released thus far, that at least that I've seen.
Yeah, we haven't either. They're not public.
But they
They're
will.
being done in full transparency, just no one's seen them.
Got it. So once the legislature chooses to vote at that time, then they become public or they'll be
Yeah,
chosen.
though I would expect, I mean, there's been talk of an extraordinary session given the timeline. I would expect we'll see hearings, you know, with maps and some level of transparency. The governor has committed to such, but it's all going to likely be done in about a 5-day window unless they release them before they return on August 18th. So it's going to move quickly, but yes, we'll see the maps. I would expect we'll see the maps before they vote on them. There's a lot of congressional members that, you know, all the politics, everyone's looking at their existing seats, right? Because they're up the following year. So there's a lot of dynamics at play.
Yeah, very interesting.
All of which Kevin Kiley, the Congress members, put in legislation to ban Texas and California from doing what they're anticipating. So Eric's going to take care of all that for us.
Very interesting times. Are there any other directors that wish to have any qu comments or questions? Anyone in the public? Seeing none, Jason, enjoy that legislative break until they come back. I guess you'll need it. Is there any other questions from staff or
There's no vote.
No,
nothing to do.
Okay. All right. We'll move on to our next item, which Eric, you'll tackle for us on the federal side.
thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. Couple very short update for you because our legislature is out also as of God, probably early Saturday morning last weekend. The Senate went out, joining the House. And effectively, they're gone till September 2nd. When they come back, the biggest issue for them is going to be appropriations. And so, as a recap, in the House, Representative Kim was successful in securing $750,000 to continue cleanup assistance for the district for PFAS. Representative Correa was successful in securing $750,000 to continue the cleanup efforts for Santa Ana. Combined, that's 1.5 million. And let me just put a positive spin on that. The Appropriations Committee this year in the House limited members dollar-wise to a smaller slice of the overall funding at EPA. So generally speaking, project funding requests at EPA through the grants program was in the range of about $500,000 to $1 million. And what we believe happened is that Representative Kim got 750, and the Congressman Correa got the other 750, and together that's 1.5 million. And I would say that that's in this time and period of appropriations, that's pretty good. There is no funding in the Senate EPA spending bill for PFAS cleanup projects. In fact, what's very interesting is that Senator Padilla and Senator Schiff secured collectively only 7 projects for funding in all of California, one of which was for a study. It wasn't even for infrastructure. And the funding generally went to low-income disadvantaged community project needs. And the dollars ranged, again, from about $500,000 to $1 million. So that's the state of play on appropriations. I would also say that on the appropriations process, because it's been a bitter process to get to where we are today, where both chambers at least have bills pending for fiscal year 26 negotiations when they return in September, the prospect of continuing debates on withholding of dollars, the administration withholding of dollars, the potential for additional rescissions to be submitted to Congress. Most people believe that we'll be going into continuing resolution into January, and that it's possible we could end up with a year-long continuing resolution if agreements can't be reached, although I think agreements will be reached. So at the end of the day, we have an earmark. Chances are better than even that that earmark will stay in, and the only question is, when will they cut a deal? And we're hopeful that they cut a deal no later than mid-December. Otherwise, we'll probably end up fighting the budget fight in January of next year for the current fiscal year. So that's where we are on appropriations. Let me say a few words about PFAS and where we are today. So EPA last week announced to the court on the litigation related to the four parts per trillion drinking water standard for PFAS under the Safe Drinking Water Act, that they will proceed to defend against the litigation that was initiated by the American Water Works Association, Association of Metropolitan Water Agencies. What that means is sometime around September 10th, the litigants will present briefs to the judge of how they would like to proceed in the litigation. So we are going to continue to see this drinking water standard in sort of an uncertain state. It is final right now. The clock is ticking with respect to compliance in 2027, but EPA wants to extend that deadline by an additional 2 years to 2029. And that is probably going to happen. I don't know. I don't see the court say you can't do it. So basically, we're going to be in litigation on the PFAS MCL standard for the foreseeable future. Then on the issue of CERCLA and the designation of PFAS as a hazardous substance, exposing agencies in the water sector to potential liability for cleanup costs, that is still pending in the courts. EPA has yet to advise the courts how it is planning to proceed, whether to defend or not to defend on the litigation that was launched primarily by the Chamber of Commerce and National Association of Manufacturers. But we expect, hopefully, in the next month or two, the agency will announce how it will proceed. My guess is that the agency will proceed to defend itself on the litigation, and then we'll have another case pending with respect to how we resolve PFAS when it comes to liability. That being said, in Congress, the effort to deal with liability protections through across the board for at least the water sector, liability protections from potential litigation from third parties continues to sort of percolate. The House does have a bill which is growing in co-sponsor support. I think we have close to maybe 20 co-sponsors, including Representative Kim most recently, as well as Representative Correa. So we are hopeful, and fingers crossed, that we'll get some progress come the fall in committee hearings and perhaps consideration of this bill, H.R. 1267. And in the Senate, they are still trying to figure out how to go forward on dealing with PFAS as an issue in the Committee on Environment and Public Works. But again, we think that there'll be some movement come the fall on PFAS in the Senate also. All that said, we don't expect that there'll be resolution at this point until next session of Congress, only because there does not appear to be enough time to actually move legislation between September and, let's say, November, early December, when they would hopefully go out if they settle the appropriations bill. If they stay in till the end of middle of December, maybe, but highly unlikely that we'll have anything even under that scenario. So that's where we're on PFAS. And Chair, the last thing I wanted to mention is we do have reserved October 20 through October 23rd for a visit back to DC for the district to sort of present its concerns. So for this meeting today, let me just tell you the reason for the meeting would be several fold, but primarily the district has not been back in a number of, well, actually a year or so now. And so the opportunity for the district to give an update to the delegation to press its PFAS funding needs and its status of efforts to deal with the contamination, as well as now some other issues, the sediment removal and possibly directives to be included in the upcoming Water Resources Development Act legislation that will be taken up next year to deal with sediment at Prado. And then Santiago Creek, to just talk about that and the impacts related to Santiago Creek and needs there. And then any other issues that would be valuable to tell the delegation at large of needs or interests at the district. As far as meetings go, aside from meeting with the delegation, meetings with the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee and House Energy and Commerce Committee, to talk about PFAS. Those are the committees that have jurisdiction on PFAS. And for the Environment Public Works, they also have jurisdiction over the Water Resources Development Act. And then also meeting with the new executive director, if he is in D.C. at the time, Bruno Pagat, who is just named to be the executive director of water reuse, as well as, if it's appropriate, meeting with AWWA as a follow-up to Tracy Meehan's presentation during the Water Summit. So it would be a pretty busy couple of days, but it should be productive and be a number of substantive technical issues to speak with the delegation as well as committees on. And if appropriate, and the word is if is a key point, meet with the Corps of Engineers on any issues that may be of concern relative to the Corps. And if it's appropriate on EPA front to meet with EPA relative to PFAS issues. So Chair, I'll stop there.
Okay, great. Thank you, Eric. Yeah, I see in our agenda, it does say under upcoming activities, Director and President Bilodeau will be visiting on October 20th. I see some staff nods and some pens written for some of those comments that you made about who to meet and the appropriate staffs to do that. So that's good. I also see that the President Bilodeau met today with Congressmember Tran at GWRS. So I think that went well. I see some heads nodding as well from staff. So I'll leave it there to see if any of our directors have any questions on the federal side. Seeing none. Eric, enjoy that recess, I guess, until they come back. We don't have any actionable items to take, so I will move on to item number six, item number five, which is the Children's Water Education Festival location and contract approval.
Thank you, Chair Wigand. We have Michelle Diaz here to, she's our communication specialist who joined us this year in March. And she is managing the festival now, among other things. Hold on, I can't talk and do this at the same time. What do I do, Christina?
Do you want me to help you?
Hold on. Let me try again.
How long was Tran here?
An hour?
Yeah. Oh, okay. You said only 40
minutes. Yeah. Minimize.
We were guessing.
Did I do it? Okay. All right, Michelle, I will turn it over to you. I can click through for you if you don't mind.
Okay. Thank you. So good afternoon. Just to provide a bit of background, this is the Children's Water Education Festival is OCWD's largest event. Over 158,000 students have attended since its inception, and this upcoming year will be its 29th anniversary. It is a structured field trip for third through fifth grade students across Orange County, that including private, home, and public schools. Next slide. So going into venue recommendations, Oak Canyon Park was approved by the board in 2024. After staff looked over 50 locations, it was the best viable fit for our event, and it successfully hosted the 2025 festival. Its capacity is for over 7,500 students, 1,600 teachers, presenters, and volunteers. It has ample bus and car parking. It is a scenic private park setting, and the venue was available for our preferred dates. And in this past festival, we received a lot of positive feedback from staff, board members, and OCWD staff, and presenters and teachers as well. So Jane's Event Productions has partnered with us for over 20 years providing event services, and they are the owners of Oak Canyon Park. So some of their services include venue management. They actually anticipated our return and planted some more grass for us so that the fields will be greener. And that services also include rentals such as tents, tables, portable restrooms. They have designated parking staff, and they have on-site staff to help with setup and the days of the event. They also have a rain contingency plan that will go into effect only if necessary. And they also help on the logistics side, so planning and support throughout the year. So when considering the date, staff reviewed over 100 public schools and previously attended private schools. We wanted to maximize school participation across all of our board service areas. So really trying to avoid spring breaks, and the proposed dates were April 15th and 16th. And with that, the recommendation would be to host the 2026 festival at Oak Canyon Park on April 15th and 16th. Authorize staff to execute an agreement with James Events Productions to provide rentals, event planning, and logistical support and services for the 2026 festival for a combined total amount not to exceed $199,136, and to authorize the general manager to approve an additional $25,000 to James Event Productions for a rain contingency plan should extreme weather warrant it. And that concludes my presentation. I'm open to questions.
Okay, any directors have any questions? Okay. So the 25 is addition in case it rains.
Yeah.
Should it rain, then that will just kick in and trigger. What are some of the things you get for the additional those costs? You know, if it does rain, what are they going to, I guess, what are they going to do?
So all of the presenters will have the sidewalls for all of their, each side of the canopy to prevent rain from coming in. And that pretty much is what the cost is coming from. We're providing like maintenance of the venue, so it's not muddy, it's not as muddy for the students and walking routes.
Your sushi with them.
There are additional ramps and just now it just depends on how the venue is and where the pitfalls are. We've never had to use, you know, in all the 28 years, we've never had to pay for like the rain stuff.
I want to look what I want.
Yeah, we did rain, but not bad.
Spring would have to be
April. It depends. Not
little showers.
Yeah.
In the contract, it does say some new for this year. So they present our restrooms. Looks like additional costs, and then some coffee and thanks for the presenters. So just to make them probably more comfortable. But.
Well, we did have coffee too, but we outsourced it. So we always try to be mindful of kind of reducing the price. So now we're able to get it from another on the site. And Donna helped us with that from James Event. So every year we do kind of review it to see what the feedback is, where we could save costs. And
yeah, no, that's great. I think that it's kind of an all-encompassing contract. They do a lot of the work.
Is.
It kind of makes it easier on a whole host of managing from that or from doing it in-house.
Yes.
Probably and saves a lot of staff.
Just to know. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was impressed last year. I thought the venue was great. And
yeah.
It's good that you found a time that doesn't impact anyone else's
right.
spring break. That means we get as many kids as we can.
Yeah. And I just want to note that the festival is an approved line item in the budget, so the board has already approved the budget. It's $265,000. So these are the largest costs for the event, obviously, but it's all within budget.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to find a better venue or location
yeah.
than we did and what we're doing. So,
Director
Green will make the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, perfect. I'll call for the vote.
Roll call, Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Sheldon.
Yes, thank you. Sorry.
Director Mezqua?
Yes.
Director Wygant?
Yes.
And Director Green?
Yes.
Motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Okay, great. Now we will move on to informational items. Number 6 is the OC Water Summit update.
Great. Thank you, Chair Wygant. I have a couple of slides regarding the Orange County Water Summit, but I want to defer to Director Sheldon, who's the co-chair of the event. Director Sheldon, did you want to start off or provide the update, or did you want me to go ahead?
You've always done a great job in the past, but I don't see why we need to change.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. So just a brief update. Summit is coming up in less than a month, 17th annual event. Orange County Water District is taking the lead. We do alternate with MODOC every other year. So our theme for this year, Turning the Valve, Abundance for Orange County. So the graphics and all of that have been designed in-house by Adrian. He's done a great job. Master of Ceremonies Fritz Coleman is confirmed, and as of today, we have about 270 registrants, a little over $50,000 raised, so we will continue to get the word out through social media, the newsletter, website, and our partners about this event, and then staff will continue to work on increasing that sponsorship. Here's a list of our sponsors, so thank you to everyone. I know some of the folks are on the line from these agencies like Mesa Water and Irvine Ranch Water District, so thank you to all of our sponsors for making this event possible. And then this is our program. So again, Friday, September 5th, doors open at 7. The event concludes at 1:30. We do have 4 sessions planned for this event, and the next slide goes into a little more detail about the sessions and the speakers. So we have a session on PFAS that will be moderated by our very own Eric Saperstein. And then we have Tracy Meehan as well from AWWA, and then Sally Brown and Jimmy Slaughter, who represent a lot of the wastewater kind of concerns about PFAS, but have spoken at several conferences, but also familiar with the water side as well. And then we have a session on rethinking the Bay Delta, moderated by Director Fessel, with somebody from the San Francisco Estuary Institute, and then Randall and Kurt from Metropolitan. So this session ties in a lot of what Director Sheldon and Bilodeau heard when they went and took an inspection tour of, you know, possible additional water in managing the Delta. So excited to hear more on that. Then we have, is the state prioritizing an abundant water supply? That will be moderated by Craig Miller. And then we'll have Darcy Ed Manning, who is Western's lobbyist. And then Jennifer Pierre for the state water contractors and Jason Phillips from Friant, who was also considered for a federal appointment as well. And then the final session will be Getting Water on the Ballot, moderated by Dr. Adam Probolsky. So he'll share some information and survey results. And then we have here an expert on kind of elections and getting it on the ballot from Jim Sutton, who comes from Jeremy's firm at Rutan and Tucker. And then Ace Smith, who is a well-known individual in Sacramento and has helped get a lot of stuff on the ballot. So he'll kind of round out that session with his expertise. And that concludes my report on the summit. During this month, we're going to be scheduling kind of summit prep speaker sessions with all of these speakers and moderators, and we look forward to the event. Any questions?
Any directors with any questions?
Do we invite, like, the Aqua executive director and the Aqua vice president?
They are invited, definitely. Are you saying, do we have like a complimentary seat, or you just is the and we just extend the invite, but it is paid registration? But we can absolutely, I can send maybe just a personal email to them to make sure they have it on their calendar. Sure. We also advertise the event through the Aqua newsletter, so I know it is on their event
and
calendar.
You see it? Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen it, yeah, several times,
but absolutely, I'd be happy to reach out.
Okay, both asked.
Okay.
Asked me about it.
Okay.
And
yeah,
so
email
that's
Marvin.
Why
okay.
I just wonder.
Absolutely.
No hands raised.
Okay.
If I could add something, I didn't, or Mr. Chair, may I add a comment? I'm really thrilled with our sessions. I think they're great and they're positive public policy discussions on water supply. And the last ones was I've been talking to some of you about, you may know, but for many of you that are been on a serve on the school board or city council, we've all seen how school districts run their bond measures. And that's sort of a model that I wanted us to take a look at, not adopting, but to emulate perhaps. And so ACE, the consultant, has done this before. And I think it's just an interesting process of the water districts of California taking charge of their destiny as to how, you know, this measure might be on the ballot and collectively and collaboratively putting a measure on the ballot ourselves versus being the tail end of some other measure that we don't really love. So that's my wish and fantasy, and we'll see how it all comes out.
No, that's good. Great point. That's a cool topic, and look forward to that one. Anyone else? Seeing no other hands raised, I will move on then to Public Affairs Outreach Report, number 7.
Thank you, Chair. The Public Affairs Outreach Report is within the packet, and I have a couple of slides just to go over some of the July outreach highlights. Yeah, including our media reach here and also our social media followers and impressions and engagement continue to go up, and then our in-person tours as well. So just in July, we had almost 280 folks tour the plant, so that is great. Some of the media highlights were here. Director Bilodeau and Mehul did an interview with The Guardian, which continues to get circulated, as well as there was a register in article in the Orange County Register, and Jason was quoted about PFAS. And then we were able to, the unfortunate fire here that happened, but we were able to capture some footage and share it with KCAL. So they used some of the footage of the planes getting water from our basins and ponds. And then Crystal and the team, they continue to do a great job on social and trying to capitalize on some of the trends to increase our engagement and followers and kind of expand our audience to non-water folks to get more interest in the water sector. Today, this is a picture of this morning from 9 to 10. We hosted Congressman Tran, so John and President Bilodeau took him through the plant and hosted about a 30-minute OCWD briefing as well to go over OCWD and our federal priorities. And I just wanted to note some upcoming meetings and events. So on August 18th, Joel Metzger from DWR, he's the Deputy Director of State Water Resources Planning, I believe, contacted Director Green and is interested in meeting with agencies in Southern California. He'll be here with Carla Nemeth. They're going to the Urban Water Institute Conference. And so he will be here on August 18th. On that day after, he'll go to Mesa Water, and then I believe he'll go to Rancho. So he's taking the opportunity to meet with folks and discuss important issues and what our needs are. So that's August 18th. September 5th, that's our Orange County Water Summit. The 19th is our IRWD PFAS treatment plant dedication. So a save the date has been sent out for that. It is on our board calendar. It's at 10 a.m. And we will have at least one or two board members from the State Water Board right now. Joaquin Esquivel and Sean McGuire have said that they will be there in addition to IRWD and OCWD staff.
That's enough board meeting date.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
That's for your information.
Okay.
It'll come up.
Okay. Thank you. And then September 25th, so we budgeted. It's been quite a long time since we've hosted an employee groundwater adventure tour. And since COVID, I mean, we've had more than 100 new employees. So we budgeted for this and we'll take the opportunity to take the new employees on the groundwater adventure tour. And then we have the general public groundwater adventure tour on October 23rd. And as Eric mentioned, we're working on planning for Director Bilodeau's visit to D.C., And finally, we have, as part of our quarterly webinar series at Orange County Water District, we have Roy Herndon and a member of his team, Tim Sovich. They'll be talking about OCWD monitoring wells and their importance in managing a reliable water supply. And that concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Very action-packed month ahead. Are there any directors with any questions? Seeing none, all right. I will have all of these items agendized on our consent calendar for our board meeting on August 20th. Are there any directors' announcements or reports? Seeing none, general manager's announcement report? Seeing none, okay. This meeting's adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you.